Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Daily Tap. It is Tuesday, July 3rd. How are we doing? I'm a little hungover from a wild Monday night. Let me just say a couple things, and we'll get into everything. But I was out with some friends, went to the Brewer game, went to see the Brewers win. We'll talk about Brewers Twins in a little bit, but it, like, you know how, like, everybody on all the different socials is, like, living your best life? Like, seriously, I felt like I was living my best life yesterday. I'm like, it's Monday, I had the day off, weather was beautiful, I got a bunch done, worked out. And I was just enjoying beers at Nomad, outside, just having a great time, catching up with some friends who I hadn't seen in a while. And then this morning hit, I had to get up and do something quick for work, went back to bed. Thank God my guy Doobie McGee provided content for Snow Tap today, and I didn't have to do much. And dinner from last night's revolting on me, so I feel great right now. And I'm like, kind of like, why the hell did I get so drunk on a Monday? When I'm going to be out this weekend with the Tapping the Keg crew, I'm sure I'll get something across the wire for tonight. Like, I didn't really need to do that to my body, and yet I did, and here we are. So we are going to enjoy, you guys are going to enjoy the hangover stylings of me on a Tuesday. I haven't done really a hangover pod in quite some time. It's weird. I would say that I'm pretty good about not getting hungover. I've, like, grown to not get hungover. But every now and again, man, gets me, and I'm definitely on the struggle bus today. So before we do get started, you guys know StoneTapWI is where you can find me. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those can be found there. We're doing some cool shit on Instagram. So you might have saw our Lost Cubs series that we've started. What I want you guys to do is, when you see Cubs fans at Brewer games, at concerts, you spot them out. You holler at us. You let us know who is going to be where you see a Lost Cub. That is exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the Lost Cubs involved. And I apparently can't talk. So yes, Lost Cub, do it, hashtag it, tag us. Any social media channel works for us. We can do Facebook, we can do Twitter, we can do Instagram. You can email me, snowtap12@gmail.com. Speaking of which, I alluded to my guy Doobie McGee decided he wanted to write a few things for us. We're always open to contributors. Pitch me an idea. I know Doobie, so pretty much I know that he has good shit. But if you've never written for us, just let me know a little bit of your background. Give me some samplings and let me dive in. Definitely try to fill a void. You guys know what I do. You know what I do on a regular basis. See how you can fill a void. That's really what we'd look for when we're looking for new content. All right, so let's start today's podcast off with talking about Jabari Parker potentially not having interest from the Kings. Jabari Parker, apparently the Kings are out on Jabari Parker. Jabari Parker's market is thinning out. If you will, John Horst is sort of letting Jabari bleed out. And I know that kind of sounds intense, kind of sounds maybe over dramatic, maybe a little bit of hyperbole, but it's true. He's doing something, and our guy Eric has called it out. He's basically pulling a Ted Thompson. He's letting Jabari Parker set the market. He's giving Jabari Parker every right for him and his agent to set the market, to say, okay, here's what we're going to give you. And Jabari is finding out that there might not be a market for him. The Bulls may be the last team left. And frankly, the Bulls don't really need Jabari Parker. You look at their front line right now, it is Lauri Markkanen, it is Wendell Carter, it is Bobby Portis. All those guys, I could argue, are better players or better prospects than Jabari Parker with two torn ACLs. Then a guy like Julius Randle, who's very comparable to Jabari Parker, just from a style, he's a little, I mean, size, whatever. They're similar. He gets 2 years, $18 million with a recruitment from Anthony Davis to come play for New Orleans. New Orleans lost Boogie. We'll get to Boogie in a second here. But the fact of the matter is that Jabari Parker he doesn't have a market. He doesn't have a market right now. There isn't a market for Jabari Parker. Jabari Parker might think that he's going to get $20 million, but he's sorely mistaken, man. He is not getting that kind of thing. Like, that's just not happening for Jabari Parker. It is, he needs to, like, have a reality check, and I think that's exactly what basically they're trying to do with him. They're trying to tell him, like, hey, look, man, you're not getting this. This is not happening for you. And I'm really sorry, but you are not becoming, you're not becoming a free agent with us. We're not going to have that happen. It's a great thing. It's a great thing that they're what they're doing. And I know that it might frustrate Jabari Parker. I know that some people have said damage is already done with Jabari Parker. I don't believe that for one second. I do not believe that Jabari Parker is going to be not going to be a Buck. That they could do a sign and trade and find a talent that might be better than Jabari Parker, you know, and we'll see, we'll evaluate that, who that talent is once we get it. But, you know, if the relationship is broken, then I think that's on Jabari Parker at this point. I think Jabari Parker needs to grow up a little bit, because all the Bucks have done is give him support and have made him a face in this community and have supported his efforts, and he bought a place down here. The whole thing was Jason Kidd driven. And if you said the front office didn't do enough to step in, fine, but that was John Hammond. That wasn't John Horst. And if you're thinking, no, ownership should do it, ownership's not there every day. Like, the fact, like, those guys come and go. Like, they're not fucking there every day for Jabari. So, yes, I feel bad that what happened with Jason Kidd and Jabari Parker is there. But to say that their differences are irreconcilable, I messed that word up, but that say that their differences are, you know, can't be fixed is bullshit. It's ludicrous. It should not be that way. It should not ever be that way for Jabari Parker. Jabari Parker needs to grow up a little bit, if that is the case, because I do think he fits on this roster. I do think they can make it happen. Now, if he becomes a sign and trade participant, let's say for a deal for Kevin Love, I'm all for that. I mean, I know that, and there are other guys who I'd say, yeah, I'd sign and trade for Jabari Parker. That they're 100%. I don't think Jabari Parker is a, you have to get him. And the fact that there isn't a market for him, to me, tells me that people aren't convinced he can stay in shape. People aren't convinced that he's going to be able to move with two torn ACLs. I think there is some significant problems there. So we'll see what happens. There's no real news, I guess, on the Jabari front. If this podcast curse has taught us anything, we'll get the news hour after I upload it to SoundCloud. So that's probably what's going to happen. All right, moving on to the big news in the NBA, something that Doobie wrote about on Snowtap WI. It is a website. The NBA is sort of in disarray because DeMarcus Cousins added himself to the Golden State Warriors. Now, Zach Lowe pointed out that, hey, DeMarcus Cousins might not be ready till January, and we don't really know what DeMarcus Cousins will do, and it's smarter for DeMarcus Cousins to sort of bet on himself for 2019, get himself ready for the 2019 run. It could also be why we've seen the Lakers sort of sign these one-year deals and kind of hypothetically tank the season, because I think the Lakers know that 2019 is going to be a much better free agency year. Could have Jimmy Butler. You could have DeMarcus. I mean, add Jimmy Butler and DeMarcus Cousins to your team with LeBron James, and holy shit. And these super teams are becoming an issue. And Adam Silver is kind of, everyone's blaming Adam Silver for this. They're saying Adam Silver set the standard and that the, you know, finals are already wrapped up. There's no guarantee, first of all, that Boogie Cousins is going to immediately fit. We'll see. We'll see if Boogie Cousins is a good teammate. I mean, this is a true test, right? I think he will be. I think you've seen it at Kentucky. I think you've seen it on the U.S. team. I think he'll be fine. But Adam Silver's getting a lot of the blame here. And I think what you have to do, and I'm borrowing this from yesterday's conversation I had with my man Jay Nelly, the Soda Kid. Basically, you have to make the luxury tax in a way where you cannot You cannot sign major deal, you know. But that's the thing. I don't even know if that's going to work. I mean, his suggestion was make the luxury tax so ridiculous that you could really only sign two max players, that you really you're only allowed two max players. But even if you're allowed two max players, what's to say these guys aren't going to take money for less? The way that the endorsement deals are built, that people are taking less money to play with teams. And you know, Andrew Doobie has called it the spirit of the AAU, you know, has infected basketball. It kind of is like that, right? But how is the NBA going to get people to care? I mean, they're going to look at it and say, well, we know it's going to be Golden State against somebody in the finals, and Golden State's going to probably sweep them. What they really need is a Pistons-like team from 2003 to come into the finals and beat Golden State. So whether that's Boston, whether that's Milwaukee, whether that's Philadelphia, Toronto, one of those teams needs to pull off the unthinkable and get people back to believing in the NBA. Because right now, everybody thinks that's a wrap. Everybody thinks that the Warriors are going to win and there's nothing left. And basketball is a hard sport to get like the unpredictable to happen. What the Pistons did was nothing short of incredible, you know, 15 years ago. I mean, that is so, I mean, it probably only happened because Karl Malone got hurt. People forget that Karl Malone got hurt and Karl Malone wasn't the player in the finals. And that just, that was part of the reason that it fell apart for LA. So that said, though, you're going to need something like that because, as I talked about with some friends yesterday, you can't just sort of get hot and win the playoffs. The NBA is way too long of a playoffs and the game is not one where you can, it's just a one game difference. Like baseball can flip on a dime. You know, you get hot in baseball, you can sustain that throughout a playoff run. You get hot in football, one game, you're done. World Cup, same thing. You get hot in the world. I mean, look at what Russia's doing, right? Russia got started off hot, and they've stayed hot. And that's why Russia's there. And that's why other teams have sort of found their way in. But, you know, Belgium was hot as hell. They nearly lose to Japan. But my point is, hockey, you get a hot goalie, you're running. Basketball does not elicit that sort of ability. Like, that just doesn't really happen in basketball. I can't really recall a hot team winning throughout. It's always been the best team. It's never really the hottest team heading in or the hottest team in the playoffs. A team may get hot for a playoff series and win it, like we saw with New Orleans. New Orleans is a great example of that. The Pelicans got hot and they win the series against Portland in four games because they were hotter than shit. Nobody could stop what Anthony Davis was doing. But then they played Golden State and they got roundhouse kicked. I can't remember. I think they won one game. So they lost in five to Golden State the next series. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how this is going to shape out. I would say that I'm excited for the NBA season, but if I didn't have Giannis and I didn't have a new arena to look forward to, I'd be pretty meh about the NBA. And our boy Bobby, it's yesterday, ran into him. Shout out to him. He's like, you might be the reason I start caring about the NBA again. And we're gonna try our best, man. We're gonna obviously talk about it. It is a bummer that sort of this is going on. All right, last topic. Since we won't have 4th of July, we could do some Summerfest, and I'll do some Summerfest too. Let's talk about how fireworks are overrated. So I don't really get fireworks. Like, I know there are people who say, oh, dude, I'm a pyro. I fucking love fireworks. Like, what is there to be excited about fireworks? Like, what? Like, I get, like, shooting off a bottle rocket here and there, a good time. Sprinkler, you kind of look dainty holding one, I'm not going to lie. But, like, what's there to be excited about with fireworks? It's kind of the same fucking thing every time. You get a bunch of big booms, you get some colors, you get the grand finale. I mean, yeah, is the Big Bang cool from time to time here in Milwaukee where it's just all the fireworks? Sure, it's a perfect night, but Milwaukee gets crowded for no goddamn reason. You have just cars everywhere. The place is fucking gridlock. Like, it is a terrible night, and people are going out. Like, I mean, yeah, Tuesday night, oh, it should be a drunken night here in Milwaukee. But, like, I don't know why fireworks matter. Like, I don't know why it's cool to do fireworks. Like, if I could see them from, like, the Good City rooftop today, I'd probably walk over there and check them out. But I'm not going to actively look for fireworks. Like, I just don't care that much. Like, it doesn't really get me going. Like, I don't get hard over fireworks. Other people do. Other people, you know, I guess it's, like, romantic or something to, like, be cuddling, watching fireworks. I guess if you're, like, high schooler or college, you know, maybe you go for an incidental boob grab here and there, or, you know, having a little fun underneath the blankets. Like, I'm not going to taste shit on that. Like, shoot your shot at all times. Like, yes, if you're trying to land a girl, maybe having her at fireworks, hopefully that'll work out. Because, you know, I don't know. I think it can all matter. And you know, we'll see. We'll sort of, you know, I'm not a huge fireworks guy. That's just me. Maybe you guys are. I just don't get into them. I used to be as a kid, but I think, like, it's just a kid thing. And I don't know if that's me being a wet blanket, but here we are. So let's get to Summerfest. You know, if you catched it, I was slick about it. We didn't do anything for Sunday because I had taped the podcast late. And then yesterday I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot. And then Summerfest isn't even a thing. They shut down on Monday. So who is at Summerfest tonight, July the 3rd? Obviously, my recommendation would be to see Foster to People. Foster to People, awesome. Pretty good night of Summerfest, too. You got Lewis the Kid. You have the Wailers. Lewis the Child, actually. Excuse me. And then you also have J. Cole on the main stage. I would not pay to go see J. Cole. That's just me. I just think J. Cole is kind of a marginal artist. He's basically like a popular Talib Kweli that all the white kids go see, but he's kind of overrated. Then July 4th, you have Journey at the main stage. My mom's going to be there. Shout out to my mom. I'm sure people will like the Pixies. Kesha's there. I don't know what you get out of a Kesha concert. Is it the slow, like, new Kesha, or do you get, like, TikTok and a few of the other songs? Because I know Kesha's been through a lot. I'm not trying to shit on that. Just wondering what kind of Kesha show I get. Cheat Codes at the Roadhouse. I'd be interested in some Cheat Codes. Gavin DeGraw passed the fray. I saw him once by myself. We don't need to rehash that story. Yonder Mountain String Band's there for all you hippies like my sister. But yeah, so it's a good couple days at Summerfest. Like, those are strong. Like, definitely, I was telling somebody, don't knock the tour day Summerfest. My girlfriend and I did that last year. Go to each stage, just kind of check it out, survey the scene, check out each show for a little while. It's not a bad thing. I like it. So, and I like that Summerfest is staggering some of the shows. Like, Kesha starts at 9:45 on the Oasis. Cheat Codes doesn't start till 10:15. You can go to both. Like, you can do the first half an hour of Kesha or do the first hour of Kesha, and then Cheat Codes, you can go for another hour of that. Like, they're pretty good. I like that. Do that more of that Summerfest. All right, guys. So, like I said, I do not think we'll have a podcast tomorrow. Maybe. We'll see. If something breaks, something crazy happens with baseball, or we didn't even touch on the Brewers again. Brewers, I love you, but NBA, man, is in full swing. Brewers are playing well. You guys, we do Brewer stuff on the blog, and we tweet about it, you know. So we know we'll try to get some Brewer talk in on Thursday, since they will be starting a big series with the Braves. So we'll chat about that then. Like I said, unless something crazy happens tonight, we will not have a podcast on July 4th. But if you are doing fireworks, like, stay safe. Don't drink and drive, guys. Like, Uber and everything else is there. Please just be safe out there. Don't do anything dumb. Do not go to the ER because you JPP'd yourself. That's kind of funny. JPP'd yourself. All right. Take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.